Joining you again this week is Ethan Smith. I've often been told that my personality is so magnetic I should not carry credit cards. And if I were to ever pat you on the back, you would probably include it on your resume. Here to talk about all things tattoo and music related and some more general grievances and shenanigans about life. Here with Jamie, Jacob, and Big John.
And Dustin.
And Dustin. Dustin he joined us halfway through this episode and led to just utter debauchery.
God, it got crazy.
It did.
It got probably the craziest we've ever gotten.
I can dig it.
So try to get through it. I hope you we all hope you enjoy.
Enjoy.
Do it again. Ooh. Dustin. Do it. Yeah. You smooth motherfucker. All right, bye y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lowbrow Nation.
Fuck yeah, dude.
What do we watch on YouTube? So recently, I've discovered this whole fucking thing about people refurbishing old tools on Instagram. I feel like an old man about it, and I'm cool with it. But the first one I watched was this dude, and he took this busted-ass, fucked-up piece of shit fucking, like, shop vice, refurbished it, took it all apart, cleaned it, painted it, like, brand new. So, John, what, two Sundays ago, we were at the house watching football?
Yeah.
And it was before football came on, so we were watching just random shit, you know, just to keep the kids not watching TV. And I put it on a couple of these videos, and then John's like, this is fucking stupid, man. Really? And then, like, no shit, 16 seconds later, John is looking at the TV with his mouth open, vaping it up, loving it. Loving it.
I'm like, God damn it, I'm hooked.
So I got the Snapchat two or three nights ago. From John's beautiful wife, Erica. And she's like, it's just a Snapchat of the TV, and John's watching someone refurbish a tool. And she's snapped back. She flipped the camera back to her face. She's like, I just want to thank you because you've done this to me. Yeah. And I was like, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. And honestly, there what's the Motor Trend channel
that Roadkill.
Roadkill.
Dirt Every Day.
Dirt Every Day. It's a Motor Trend thing, Motor Trend the magazine.
Roadkill's better.
The dude just takes fucking things and turns it into four wheel drive and fucking does
shit.
He
just takes shitty four wheel drive vehicles and makes them capable off road vehicles. Mm-hmm.
And then Apocalypse Auto.
Yeah. Those are some dudes that.
And I'm pretty sure, like, the lead guy on that. I'm going to catch some shit for this, but I'm going to say anyway.
No, you're not. Nobody watches that besides us.
Or nobody listens to us except for us. So, the guy that, like, the leader of the apocalyptic group, I think he's a little autistic.
He's not the leader. He just does the voiceovers and the filming.
That makes you the leader.
They came out with a new, they came out with a new video the other night, and I watched it. Basically, Apocalypse Auto are these dudes that they got YouTube famous when they took and destructed a Pontiac Fiero and basically jumped it over a hill. And some producers found it and are like, "Hey, we want to try to make a TV show out of this." So they shot a pilot episode. And they took a fucking school bus and put this huge-ass fucking snowplow cow catcher blade on the front of it.
Yeah.
Well, they never got... The show never got picked up, so they just tried to continue it. And, like, I found it, like, 3-4 months ago, and basically the video I found was them taking that school bus and splitting a Honda Civic in half with it.
Yeah, but... So, John sent me this. This is how I found about it. John sent me this video link. I watched it.
People doing stupid shit with cars.
Which is what we like.
Yeah.
And this dude, like, I'm looking at it, and I slow it down and look at this car, and you can tell, like, this car's been split. Yeah, they cut it apart, and then they ran through it.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. That pissed me off. But they do some really neat shit with cars. They found, like, they were given a fucking, Fiat?
In the most recent episode. Yeah.
They were given a Fiat and a motorcycle. They were getting ready to tear his barn down. The barn had this Fiat and a motorcycle in it. Mm-hmm. Honda CB750, which makes a bitchin' fucking...
Bobber?
No.
Chopper?
The other one. Come on.
Cafe Racer?
Cafe Racer. Boom.
Shout out Hopper.
Yeah, shout out Hopper and Carson.
Slip Customs.
But they got these fucking cars running for nothing. The plates on them were labeled like 82. Like the last time that they knew these cars ran were 1985. So the fact that they got them running with minimal work was really cool. But yeah, no, it was just stupid. Like the whole, I don't know, whatever. I also watch a lot of fucking like treasure hunt videos, like people with their fucking like metal detectors.
Goddamn. You're such an old man.
Yeah, man, you know what? If it involves socks and sandals, I'm down.
Like, I'm realizing that we watch very different things on YouTube.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Do you watch? Yeah. You guys are pretty much in line.
Honestly, we do watch a lot of the same shit on YouTube.
The thing I've been watching
basically because we send it all send it to each other.
I just watch Unsolved Murder Mysteries.
Do you really?
Okay. I watch a lot of I want to get more into that, but I want to go ahead and just list off. Just go ahead and like just
yeah, we definitely want to get into that.
Talk about more of what I watch on YouTube. I watch more like I don't know, like
music videos.
Well, besides that, and like fail videos, like YouTubers, I actually like to follow. Like the one I just mentioned, TJ Kirk. I like that guy. He's kind of like I said, he's kind of annoying, but I like him.
Did you say fail videos?
Yeah,
fail. I've been watching a lot of golf fail videos.
Yeah,
I've actually been watching a lot of golf videos in general, so I can get better with my game.
God, you're so goddamn old.
Yeah, I know. I am. I'm getting old, bro.
I'm like 95.
I listen to I listen and watch a lot of like podcasts on YouTube more than anything. I listen to the Very Bad Wizards podcast a lot.
You can listen to the Lowbrow Nation.
The Very Bad Wizards. They're pretty cool. They're like two like
what fucking. This is the only goddamn podcast on the internet. I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, Jake.
But they're cool, man. They're like fucking two like they're like two like professor dudes. Like they talk about a lot about like moral philosophy and shit like that.
Oh god.
A lot of the stuff I listen to revolves around like moral philosophy.
Some deep shit.
Like I listen to we're like in a scientific context. Okay. So like
that sounds interesting.
I listen to a lot of like Gadsad. He's an evolutionary. What the fuck is it called? I'm like six beers in right now. Yeah. I listen to a lot of Gadsad. I listen to a lot of Sam Harris's podcast, Waking Up with Sam Harris. I'm a big fan of that.
I like to keep my
He's kind of a moral philosopher. He's Sam Harris is well known for being one of the four horsemen of the new atheist apocalypse.
Okay.
Him, Daniel Dennett, Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens.
I've actually heard of Sam Harris.
Yeah, Sam Harris. He's pretty good, man. I like him. There's some things I disagree with Sam Harris on, but for the most part, I feel like I at least get like a vibe of him being intellectually honest. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
There's some things I disagree with him, especially when in the realm of moral philosophy. Whenever he starts talking about his, because he advocates for objective moral values.
Okay.
In a scientific context, I think that's a little incoherent, but there's a lot of things I do agree with him on. I listen to The Needle Drop. I'm a big fan of Anthony Fantano.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He actually fucking, Anthony Fantano viewed one of my stories on Instagram the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So just real quick about him.
Yeah.
What do you think about the fact that he gave Kendrick Lamar's album, Damn,
a 7?
The same rating?
As no. Little Pump?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 7.
What do you think?
See, the one thing I like about Anthony Fantano is that he listens for music. He listens to music for what it is.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I would disagree with that.
Completely disagree with that.
Clearly, Kendrick Lamar is better than Lil Pump.
I found it very odd because like, I'm a huge Kendrick Lamar fan. I got into him in college, and when I got into him in college, it was K-Dot. Just like his like big hits at the time, like Swimming Pools and all that other stuff.
Yeah, like Good Kid, Mad City stuff.
Yeah, and then when I got out of college and I started listening to his whole discography, I realized that all of his albums tell a story. And
they're all very
political and socio-economical conscious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like I got really into that. And so knowing the depth that is required for one of Kendrick Lamar's albums versus listening to Lil Pump's album, I was like,
Gucci Gang,
Okay. So did you listen to Anthony Fantano's review of the Kendrick Lamar album? Did you actually watch the whole review?
I did.
Okay. I think he makes some good points in it. I don't know. I mean, Damn isn't my favorite Kendrick Lamar. To Pimp a Butterfly is my favorite Kendrick Lamar album.
Yes. Yeah.
I think To Pimp a Butterfly is his best work so far. I liked it better than Good Kid, M.A.A.D City is a fucking classic, but To Pimp a Butterfly is so fucking good to me.
Also, fun random fact: I feel like most people thought that Kendrick Lamar's first album was Good Kid, M.A.A.D City.
No,
no,
but that was his actual sophomore album. He had ADHD before that.
Yeah,
or sorry, High Power. Section 80.
No, Section 80.
Section 80.
That's one with
High
Power on it.
Right.
Though. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and so he had that, but it wasn't really widely listened to. And then he dropped Good Kid, M.A.A.D City in 2012, and people went crazy for that,
right?
Yeah. And so for a lot of people, that's where Kendrick Lamar begins.
I now know that's how Ethan felt earlier when we were talking about Star Wars.
So, yes. But the thing about Kendrick, the thing
I don't
about,
know what the fuck is happening.
I'm a huge music and literary nerd, but I guess the thing about me, like, you can ask any of my friends when it comes to movies and TV shows, I'm just really ignorant. Right. And it's not a thing that I've actively tried to achieve, but growing up, I watched a lot of English Premier League soccer games, went to a select few movies, and didn't really worry about having a TV show because I was so busy playing sports and reading books and other things. And that sounds like I'm such a nerd, but I was too consumed to really give it a whole lot of time. And when I went to college, I was working too many jobs and too focused on my studies that to the point where I didn't even own a television. This year, when I moved into my own apartment, was the first time I owned a television for 7 years. Okay. And so it's just like music and literary, I'm all about that. But when it comes to movies and TV shows, I'm really ignorant. I have nothing against it, but I just, right. yeah.
It doesn't cap, it's just priorities at
do
that
you,
point.
Do you like right. vinyls? Yeah. Do you have a lot of vinyls?
I don't.
I'm just now getting pretty serious into the vinyl thing.
I actually brought that up because I figured he did. I figured y'all had something to talk about there.
Yeah, I don't. Sometimes I'll go over to Well Traveled Beer's Vinyl Night.
Right.
And like I listen to what they put on.
I need to go there. Did they do like a bring your own vinyl kind of situation?
Yeah. Like it was actually, it's going on tonight.
Okay.
And essentially you just bring in your vinyls and they have somebody with an actual turntable to play the vinyl on.
Right.
We looked at turntables today.
Yeah. And then they serve like a rare craft beer on one of their taps and do $2 off all other taps. And you just go in and bring your vinyl and you tell them what you want to hear.
Cool. I have a lot of vinyls cool. I want to hear that my turntable and speaker system aren't like really made because I have a lot of metal vinyls. And that little Crosby fucking portable fucking suitcase vinyl or suitcase record turntable with the built-in speakers sounds like dog shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It sounds I want to get like an Audio Technica. I was looking at that today.
Dude, I picked this thing up. Like while we were looking at it, I picked it up just to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
To flip it over to see what, because there was two Audio Technicas. One was a fucking third of the price of the other one.
Yeah, one was like $90 or $80. The other one, the one I want, is like $250.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Like you can tell the difference in just weight. Like the one that he wants is fucking heavy.
It converts vinyl to CDs too.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Nah, this thing's badass, nice. Dude. I feel like everything that looks like it would be made out of like chrome plated plastic, it's not. Shit. It's just straight metal. Hmm. Like. Which fits with Jacob because Jacob's straight metal.
Anyway, I want to go back to I want to go back to Kendrick Lamar. The thing I like about Kendrick Lamar is that even if you don't agree 100% with his politics, like he's still fucking his shit's still well put together. You know what I mean? Like his
absolutely.
Like there's some things he says that I don't agree with, like on a philosophical level. You know what I mean? I mean not. I mean I'm probably more sympathetic to some of his gripes than. You maybe, Jamie, or someone like that.
But I don't know shit about
him. I guess my thing with him objectively is whether or not I agree with anything he says, it doesn't matter because he is one of the last rappers who's actually just coming. He's telling you his own experience and his own thoughts of the events of the world, and that is increasingly rare
in
hip-hop and rap nowadays.
Yeah.
And so just to see somebody come out and build a whole career off of something that in depth and that meaningful. Yeah. I can respect that on any level. Like if he was just straight up saying things I didn't agree with, I would still listen to him because that is incredible that somebody is able to build an entire career off of being conscious about their own life and their own experiences and having the courage to share that with the world.
Yeah.
Like my last real exposure to any kind of rap, honestly, because I've been on this like kind of bluegrass folk stuff for a while. Is like Nelly, Ludacris, and Lil Dicky,
and
Lil Dicky because of these guys, Nappy Roots. Yeah,
Lil Dicky is great. But on the bluegrass and like country vein, have you ever heard of an artist called Coulter Wall?
I've heard the name. I'm not sure if I've heard anything.
Okay, it's crazy. He has one album, and it's called Imaginary Appalachia. And you would think listening to him that he's like Johnny Cash's last prodigy because his voice sounds so similar.
Oh, really?
When I first heard him like on a song, I thought he was like this 50 or 60 year old man just like belting out like the hardships of his life. Turns out he's a 19 year old kid from Canada.
Sounds like King Cruel.
Who just has like this insanely deep and gruff voice and speaks really intelligibly about the issues that Appalachia faces. And it's just his music is so raw and very like just stripped of like any effects or production, and it's just like him and his guitar and like a kick drum, and that's the kind of music that I really do enjoy, because my music taste is so insanely wide. Like, I'll do everything from him to Kendrick Lamar to Bob Seger to Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, and then like lesser known blues artists. And I even get into like some of the more poppier stuff, like the Chainsmokers have songs that I enjoy. And I'm not afraid to admit that. Like, I'll listen to anything if I like it. And it's just
what?
It's,
you don't listen to anything if you like it?
He'll listen to anything.
I will listen to anything if I like it. That's what he said. Yeah, and
catch up, Jamie. God.
Yeah, no, I think music, and not to get like too ahead of your philosophical, it's just one of those things that it is incredible to me on any level that humans have that form of expression, because we are the only known species or anything else that we know of that can articulate ourselves and our thoughts and emotions in that capacity. And to be able to pick up an instrument with like steel or brass strings that on top of a box of wood or whatever form the instrument takes, and then to be able to put something out there that other people who have never even met you and don't know anything about your life can latch on to and absorb and go, I relate to that. That is just an incredible human phenomenon to me that I am deeply in love with, because music was essentially my first love.
Yeah. What music do you listen to the most? Like, I think I venture out and I listen to a lot of different kind of music, but I always go back to metal. Like, metal's my foundation, you know what I mean?
Right.
For like the music I listen to, it's what I listen to the most, what I probably enjoy the most. What's yours? What would be your...
I can't speak to what I listen to the most, and the reason I say that is because I did like my year in review on Spotify last night, and the way it shook out was I listened to like 63,000 and some odd minutes of music.
Wow.
From I think 1,700 different artists across 35 different genres. Like, it is all it's just all over the place.
I thought I had a vast array of musical taste. But Jesus Christ.
What it comes down to, I guess what I cut my teeth on that I always, no matter how far astray from it, come back to is classic rock.
Okay.
The late 60s and early 70s, that era.
Yeah.
What happened was I grew up playing violin. And awesome. I was in the Suzuki Orchestra and all this other stuff. And
we call that the fiddle around here, son.
Or in Appalachia.
I got deeply into that. And then the more I grew up, the more I started kind of slowly developing my own music taste at a young age. And then when I was about 10 or 11 years old, my mom had some vinyls in the basement. And she introduced me to them, and the first two vinyl records I ever listened to were by Eric Clapton and Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
And then she played like some Gladys Knight and Otis Redding and all this other stuff.
So you like more like definitely like the blues influence kind of.
Yes. And I think that's what I'm getting at. Even when I go back to like the classic rock, when I say classic rock, I'm talking about Eric, Jimmy, B.B. King, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Not so much. But I do appreciate them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just like to me is that expression of music is the one where it is so intensely just human emotion layered over through voice and guitar.
You would get along pretty well with Dustin, I think.
Hell yeah, you would.
Yeah.
Dustin, did you meet Dustin last time you were here?
Yeah.
So he
was on it.
He's super into blues. Specifically pre-World War One blues, like the old like Delta blues,
like Robert Johnson. And that
crowd. Well, yeah, but like
before him,
he's real big into like Son House and like Big Bill Brunzi and Charlie Patton,
the pioneers.
Yeah. Blind Willie McTell.
Those are the guys who built the base of blues in the sense that they had like really cheap acoustic guitars with like inch high actions.
Yeah,
and all they did were like open D tuning with like playing on the second, fifth, and seventh fret with a slide.
Yeah.
And just wailed over at their life experiences, and that's the entire foundation of blues.
So you're like, if you had to trace your music taste back, it'd be Clapton and Hendrix. That's who you would say your two biggest influences are.
Yes.
What about you, John?
Who
are the first?
Real quick, if it tells you anything, the very first song I ever learned to play on guitar, because I got my first guitar when I was 12, and it was an acoustic, but still, the first song I ever went for to learn how to play in full was "Sunshine of Your Love" by Cream.
Okay,
so, nice.
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That is good.
That's a good one.
Yes, sir.
Who? What was the first like artist or couple of artists that you say like you really latched onto and that probably molded you and like your music taste?
Like, honestly, I don't even really listen to much of it anymore now. The first music artist that I really ever latched onto as a child, and I remember this, was Alabama.
Okay.
When I was a kid.
Okay.
And from that, my music taste grew, because my brother was into was into classic rock and metal. I remember the cover of Nazareth's album with
the one with Hair of the Dog on it.
Yeah, with Hair of the Dog.
That's
on
a
it.
Good fucking album, dude. Yeah. What's the name of the album?
I can't remember.
That's a fucking banger all the way through. I have that album on fucking CD.
Molly Hatchet's album cover. Like, to me, like, it was a very visual thing. Like, if it had an album cover that looked really awesome.
Molly Hatchet has some of the best fucking album covers, dude.
Yes.
So Molly Hatchet and Asia are probably, like, my two favorite, like, as far as, like, album covers go. I wish I loved Asia's music as much as I fucking love Asia's album covers.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, it's same with Molly Hatchet. Like, you look at Molly Hatchet's
I'm music, thinking like it's going to be like Manowar or something.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Like this.
Molly Hatchet's album covers were ahead of their time.
Yeah, they were. Like, you look at their album covers and you're like, this is going to be like some really metal stuff, and it's Southern rock.
Yeah.
What was that one song they had in that NASCAR game on PlayStation? God, it was such a good song.
I'm traveling down the road.
Flirting with disaster. It's really crazy to me that you said Alabama, because that was one of my dad's favorite artists, because he went and saw them at the Bowery when he was in his early 20s. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's basically the only real thing that I know about Alabama.
Wow.
Because while my mom influenced me with music in terms of classic rock, my dad was a huge country fan.
Uh-huh.
And so what I found was, after he died, I took all of like the classic rock and rap that I was listening to, and it evolved into folk and eventually country. And that's really in college. That's when my music taste went just all over the place.
Bananas. Yeah.
That's how, like, to me, like, I don't know, like, to nowadays, like, I always end up going back to, like, I don't know. I go down these rabbit holes, like, even back to like early blues and like rock, like the beginning of rock, like the Yardbirds and stuff like that. Like the most time when I find out, like, and I can't find anything new, that's my problem. It's like, I can't find anything new that I like that doesn't sound, you know, original to me. So I always fall back, I always fall back to metal or punk, and honestly, like, mid-90s rap, but like on them. And I guess like the one band I always fall back to is like Motorhead.
Motorhead. So you say Motorhead, Motorhead or Ozzy might be like your flagship as far as metal, or like the ones that really got you into metal.
Yeah.
What about you? What would you say as far as your like music, man? Like, what was the first music you remember really latching onto? As far as like, because like whenever I was a kid, I was super into like Toby Keith, and like I had a fucking like little Bow Wow album that I was really into. But I don't really like think about that shit whenever I think about music that really influenced me, because like I don't really listen to that kind of stuff anymore. Did I say Toby Keith? I meant Tim McGraw.
Two totally different people. Well, yeah, not really.
But different, but still same.
I mean, I was super into Tim McGraw, and I was super into like Lil Bow Wow. Yeah, and I was super into like fucking Lil Bow Wow and Aaron Carter and bullshit like that. Not saying Tim McGraw is bullshit, but Aaron Carter and Lil Bow Wow.
Bullshit.
Bullshit, yeah. Exactly. So like whenever I'm talking about is like the first shit you really latched onto that like you think
there's three
that you think like really has like you've carried with you throughout life that has like influenced your like what you listen to now.
I know them right now. I can tell you right now.
Okay.
Randy Travis.
Okay.
I still listen to him. I remember when we lived in the mountains. My mom worked out of prison. I remember just one day in particular, my dad and I went to go pick my mom up from work for whatever reason.
That sounds like a fucking country song right there.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom worked at the prison. Daddy and I had to go pick her up. Shit, son. I was in the truck in the damn old, and it was a truck. I was in
a truck. You have a country song. You know, you got prison, truck. You got mama and daddy, and you got a truck.
God.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, dude. That's
I'm going to whole Eric. Album. I'm gonna talk to Eric Strickland.
That's a discography, dude.
Yeah. So we were there. And I ran to traffic. It was a tape. And I knew the whole tape. I started singing every song on the tape before the song would start.
Right.
It was the album that had Digging Up Bones on it and all that shit. The original one.
Mm-hmm.
So that one. Randy Travis. All day. Metallica. The first CD I ever bought was the Metallica Black Album. And I love Metallica. I like old Metallica. I like new Metallica. I probably, honestly, am one of the few people that like new Metallica more than I like old Metallica.
If you know Jamie, that's not surprising.
It's not. And and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah, I knew Skynyrd was going to be up there.
It was. I mean, I played in a cover band with Eric Strickland for a long time. And we were a Southern rock band, but we literally were a Skynyrd cover band.
The older I've gotten, the more I appreciate Skynyrd.
But I like Skynyrd that you don't hear. One of the Sun. One of the Sun didn't even have a Van Zandt singing on it. It was Alan Collins that sang One of the Sun. One of the Sun's probably one of my favorite songs. And just there's so many good Lynyrd Skynyrd songs that nobody ever hears. You hear fucking Curtis Lowe, Tuesday's Gone, fucking
Three Steps,
Sweet Home Alabama, Simple Man, Give Me Three Steps, and Free Bird. Nailed it. Those six songs are the six songs that people hear from Skynyrd. They got so many good motherfucking songs. Mr. Banker, holy fuck, Mr. Banker's such a good song. There's so many good
songs.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Yeah.
There's so many good songs out there that, I mean, from Skynyrd that nobody knows. And from Skynyrd, there was the Alan Collins Band. There was Ronstein Collins Band. There was Artemis Powell. He had a band.
38 Special?
Nah, 38 Special was one of the Van Zandt brothers. Okay. It's not, and not one that sang in, that was, he wasn't part of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay.
There's what, Ronnie, Donnie, and Johnny. Ronnie died in the plane crash. Johnny's the singer now for Skynyrd, and Donnie is the one of the singers for 38 Special.
Did you love the Lynyrd Skynyrd Roadrunner new metal-ish release?
I have no clue what the fuck you're talking
about. It came out 10 years ago. Nice. They tried to like kind of update their sound.
They did like a new metal album?
I don't want to say it's not really new metal, but it was more of an updated Southern Rockish sound.
Weird.
Kind of radio rockish.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd listen to it just to see what it sounds like. But, man, Curtis Lowe, that's another one. That's a number seven of the list. I don't know if I said that a little while ago, but that song, people know it. There's so many good songs from Lynyrd Skynyrd that nobody knows. And if you played some of the songs that they have now, they'd be like, yo, who did that? Fucking Steel Drivers did that?
Yeah.
Chris Stapleton wrote that.
All right. Question. You know,
hold on. We were talking about music.
Yeah.
We're talking about heady stuff, right, with music. I brought this up to a customer the other day, the Steel Drivers, which is the bluegrass band that Chris Stapleton, super big deal in country music right now.
Oh, yeah.
After the Steel Drivers, he left the Steel Drivers so he could spend more time with his family. Steel Drivers kind of blew up out of fucking nowhere. Didn't mean to. And it's considered, I guess, newgrass instead of bluegrass. He stepped away from them and accidentally started this band called the Johnson Brothers. It's like Thompson, but with a J.
Accidentally?
Yeah, they actually got pretty good play from places, and they were pretty good, but they had this one song called 17. It was a little rapey.
Whatever. It was.
It really was. It was very, had some rapey tones.
Statutory rapish.
It was a weird song. But going back to the Steel Drivers, actually have a new lead singer now, and I like him. Some people don't. He's not Chris Stapleton. Chris Stapleton's got the voice of a fucking beer drinking, whiskey drinking, cigarette smoking angel.
Well, you know, he wrote most popular country music.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's in the He
was the big songwriter behind like a lot of these famous country artists.
Same thing with Jamie Johnson. Johnson wrote Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
Yep.
And I feel like if there's ever a time when we find Jamie Johnson dead in a hotel room from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, it's going to be directly because of that fucking song.
Yeah.
One of my best friends in college went up to Danville, Virginia to a race. And he was walking around like the inside track, and he said he met Jamie Johnson.
Yeah.
And Trace Adkins was there too.
Oh,
and man. He got to meet both of them in the one day.
That's cool.
And like this dude at the time, he was a football linebacker. He was like my height, 6'2", like 325 pounds.
I'm going to eat all your food kind of dude.
Like just huge. And he said these guys got out of their like little golf carts and stood up, and they were like 6'7", 6'8", like deep voice, just jacked. And he was like, oh my God. Because you hear their voices and you figure they're big dudes.
Fucking Trace Atkins like 6'6", 6'7". Yeah,
but you don't figure how large they actually are until you meet them in person.
Yeah. Well, with the Jamie Johnson thing, you know what? Jamie Johnson apparently, from what I understand, had to take this past year off because his voice got real fucked up.
Yeah.
Now, I want to hear, now that Chris Stapleton's been around the fucking game for a while, so has Jamie Johnson. I want to hear a duet with Jamie Johnson and Chris Stapleton.
I'd listen to that.
I feel like them two could put together some shit that would knock country music on its fucking ass. Now, Chris Stapleton has been putting out music recently, even recent music, that would be considered outlaw country music.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And when I say outlaw country music, I don't mean Eric Church, I Wear Sunglasses Inside.
Right. Well, so stuff. Like actually,
Chris Stapleton writes songs about life.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he's got a song on his most recent album. From the Room, Volume 2. I'm not sure what it is, but he's got a song called Them Stems. Like, he talks about, like, not having the money to go buy weed, so he's just smoking them stems. He calls his buddy up, like, yo, dude, you got some weed? Nah, man, I've been smoking these stems. Like, let's go smoke these stems together. I mean, he talks about real life. Now his wife's pregnant with twins, so I don't know if he's going to fucking play tambourine with him right now. But
what are your thoughts on Eric Church?
Eric Church?
Yeah.
I think Eric Church is cool because he's from North Carolina. I think he's stupid for wearing sunglasses all the fucking time. And I just think I don't like his voice.
Okay.
Like, I feel like it? I feel like personally, this is going to sound maybe a bit conceited. I don't sing very well because I've always, you know, compared myself to country music superstar Eric Strickland. But I feel like I could probably sing better than Eric Church.
Yeah,
he sings out of his nose. I have
like a weird hometown love for him.
Because I get that because he's from up there. You know what I mean?
From Granite Falls. It's literally 15 minutes away.
Y'all neighbors. Yeah. I get that.
Right.
But he sings out of his fucking nose, and it pisses me off. And his last song he came out with, but actually on the CMAs.
Mm. What was it?
He did a song with this lady, and it was really good. She was way better than he was. She was like a backup singer, and she was like stepped forward and started singing with him, and she fucking killed it.
Was Eric, it like a wrecking ball?
No. Like the fucking Miley Cyrus song?
No. Oh. No. No, he has a song literally called like a wrecking ball.
It could have been. I don't know. I could barely understand a word he fucking said because he was either drunk, high, or stupid. Both. Or dumb. I just couldn't. He just sounded like he had a fucking huge penis all up in his mouth while he was singing.
I went to a concert of his in Greensboro in the fall of 2014.
Did you pay for it?
No.
Okay.
But actually, I really had a good time. And
I feel like he put on a good show.
Yeah, and like something that spoke to me about like exactly how much the guy drinks, I guess, just on that one concert experience before he launched into Jack Daniels, that song that he has, which is actually super bluesy, which I think is one of the reasons that I like it.
Mm-hmm. Eric Church does have a lot of blues influence in his music.
And like him and his lead guitarist, lead backup, I should say, they both got like the 375 milliliter like plastic bottles of Jack Daniels, clinked them on stage and chugged them and threw them into the audience and then launched into it. But I guess what I already liked his music, something that made me respect him for all of his downfalls, is he had a fan of his that had been to more than 100 of his concerts. And he asked her, like, what do you want to hear me play? And so at the very end of the concert, he essentially called her out by name and said she requested this song, played it just himself, acoustic rendition, and then said, by the way, this is a song I wrote just for you, and then played that on stage too.
Wow.
And,
that's awesome.
Right. And like I guess that's what brought the respect into it for me, because that is so beyond rare nowadays.
He just did that. There's something I want to say about the Steel Drivers.
Yeah.
But about the respect thing, Brantley Gilbert. Mm. I don't care for Brantley Gilbert's music.
Nope.
I don't care for it. Not one fucking bit. But he's written a lot of fucking songs. What's that one that one song that Jason Aldean did that got real big? He sang it with Ludacris.
Oh.
Dirt Road Anthem.
Not Chilling on Dirt Road. Oh.
Yeah, Dirt Road Anthem.
Yeah.
He didn't write that song.
Brantley Gilbert.
Oh, Brantley Gilbert. Yeah,
Brantley Gilbert wrote that song. Brantley Gilbert has written a lot of songs in country music. I don't really care for his music. I don't care for his style. But I respect the dude. And the one reason is because I watched this video on YouTube and I cried like a baby. But a dude met him. A meet and greet, and a guy was a Purple Heart veteran. And shut up, kitty cat. Y'all probably didn't hear that. There's a kitty cat at the door.
be nice.
There's a the dude literally was like, hey, you stick up for veterans, you love us, all that stuff. I want to give you this. And the guy gave Brantley Gilbert his Purple Heart.
Jesus.
That's a big fucking deal. My dad had a Purple Heart from Vietnam.
That's insane.
And the guy, like, he's a big deal with, like, the veterans community. So I respect him for that stuff. I don't like his music. I'm sorry. He's probably a real cool guy. He'd probably be sitting right here with us, drinking beer, talking shit about his music.
Yeah. Just because you got shitty taste in music or you make horrible
don't mean
music,
you're a bad person.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Yeah, nah, but, you know?
I mean, some guys are actually, they're really good songwriters, but they can't actually perform their own songs to save their lives.
Well, yes, that's what they said about Jamie Johnson for a long time, because he's so traditional. Back to that, I'd love to see Jamie Johnson and Chris Stapleton fucking do something together.
I want to see Jamie Johnson.
God knows, man. That's like a beard fest.
Badonkadonk.
Yes. Actually, you know what? That's one thing I could probably go the rest of my life with never seeing. But what I was going to say.
That song probably bought him a house.
That no, you know what song bought him a house? Was actually he's on, or Chris Stapleton is on record for saying this. What is the song that Darius Rucker sang? It was a big one.
Wagon Wheel?
No, Jesus Christ.
Because
he didn't even sing that song.
Quick side note. Darius Rucker.
He did sing
the song. He could sing a phone book and I would listen to it.
Yeah.
Because he is such a great singer.
And a storyteller.
Right, but then when he did Wagon Wheel, I was like, I hate this, because it's not pure to what the song was supposed to be.
It was terrible.
Yeah,
I didn't like it.
He's a fantastic singer, but he did not need to
touch Wagon Wheel. I watched Okra Medicine Show and Kesha do that song the other night on CMT Crossroads.
Wow.
And they did a better job than Darius Rucker.
Have you ever heard the bootleg recording of Bob Dylan actually doing that?
I have not. But I know that's where Old Crow got it from.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so quick plug in that regard. One of my favorite bands, hate on it all you want, is actually Mumford & Sons.
I like Mumford & Sons.
Why not? I don't. Yeah, Jacob might hate on it.
I don't know. The way I got into them is I was dating this girl in college, and she was big into them, introduced me to their Sigh No More album, and then that was it for me.
Yeah.
But then they did something with themselves, the Allman Brothers, and of all people, Johnny Depp. Who can apparently play electric guitar.
Yeah, he's in that fucking one band.
He tattooed someone, too.
Fuck that band.
And so it's called The New Basement Tapes. And the way they got their name was they
Vampire
went...
Vampire or something?
No.
Johnny Depp? No, I'm talking
it
about...
It was... Oh, sorry. Yes. they found a whole bunch of Bob Dylan's old songs that had never been recorded. He wrote them down in like a journal. And then never recorded them.
Oh, wow.
And the one that Johnny Depp does with the Allman Brothers and Mumford & Sons is called Kansas City. And it is absolutely mind-blowingly good. Okay. And so, yeah, just... But that the fact that Bob Dylan wrote Wagon Wheel and Old Crow took it on.
Now, Mumford & Sons came back around and did that. There's a lot of weird stuff with that. Now, did Bob Dylan write that song or part of that song?
He wrote it.
He
never finished it.
He wrote part of the song.
Is what I've always heard.
I think he wrote most of it, but never quite finished it, and then Old Crow took it on and finished it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, Kesha and Old Crow Medicine Show's version was better than Darius Rucker's.
Like I said, he's a great singer, but he did not need to come anywhere near Wagon Wheel.
Yeah.
No. I mean, just honestly, being from this part, being from North Carolina. And
the Carolinas.
And honestly, being an NC State fan, like every time I go to an NC State football game, it's blaring from some speaker.
Well, man,
every 20 feet.
I went to Elon, like, and that's a private university. Yeah. It's got more out of state than in state and everything else. And so everybody would like come together and play Wagon Wheel and like think it was like the North Carolina anthem and everything else. But I was like, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Wagon Wheel.
Because they're from Asheville. I'm from Morganton, 45 minutes away. And like, you know the history of that song and what went into it and like how authentic it is.
Old Crow's from Asheville?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And like they would just blast it at a party and get drunk to it. And I'm like, no, that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
Wagon Wheel. I really want to talk about these two songs from the Steel Drivers real fast. But Wagon Wheel, that song, we were in Florida for our brocation for John's bachelor party this past summer. And the band, it was a punk rock band.
It was a punk rock cover band.
And they knew we were from North Carolina because we were yelling it.
Right.
Because that's what we do when we're drunk. Obviously. And from North Carolina. We fucking let motherfuckers know where we're from. They literally looked at us and like, this goes out to you, Big John! Sorry, I yelled that in the microphone. Everybody, I'm sorry for your car speakers. And they started playing Wagon Wheel. And me, Carson, John, Jarrett, and Puckett, like, no, Puckett was asleep on the
table. Did they have the decency to break out the acoustic guitars?
No.
It was a punk rock rendition. It was awesome.
I was so drunk.
Really?
It was cool. I didn't know if it sucked or not.
I wasn't that drunk, and it was really cool. Because, I mean, dude, we were yelling. At one point, John and Carson were on stage with these dudes. It was ridiculous, bro.
Okay.
All right, so let me tell you about these two songs real fast by the Steel Drivers. It was on one of the albums. One of them is called Can You Run? One of the lines go, can you run to the freedom line of the Lincoln soldier? Contraband could be a man with a musket, basically. And Peacemaker, that's another one. Peacemaker's about a gun, the Colt Peacemaker, and why do I have to have a voice so loud? I could have been a railroad line or a train. And I started thinking about those two songs. You hear bluegrass and all that stuff, and you think, you know, Southern, just guns blazing, you know, all that stuff. Now, from Can You Run, what I take from it is, you were talking about heady stuff of 20 7 minutes ago before we got way off on a rant. But the Candy Run song, it to me seems like it's a song or a story told by a Union soldier running, because there's a part in it also that says you got to get up. You know, you might get shot, but you still got to go. Got to get the fuck out of here because we're going to get fucked up. And get to the Lincoln line. And from the way I've listened to the song, I've listened to it and paid attention to it, and it almost seems like I said, it sang from a Union soldier's point of view. Same thing with Peacemaker. You think of bluegrass, you think Southern, you think fucking pro-gun, pro-whatever. You think bluegrass, you're going to fucking think Republican, really, honestly, if you think about it. Peacemaker, if you think about the song and listen to the words, it's almost anti-gun. You know what I mean? I'm not getting political or anything. It kind of sounds like I'm getting political. I don't mean to be. But I was listening to these two songs, and I was like, well, damn, dude. You know, that sounds, it's crazy. But when listening to them, I love both of the songs. It doesn't matter. I don't give a fuck about I do care about the story and outcome of it. But it both of those two songs make you think. When we were talking about heady music, you know, earlier, it would have been a lot more in context. And I'm sorry to bring it back to that. But I've been wanting to get that out for a little while, and I had to pee, and then we started talking about something else. And
you're going to ask a question like 50 minutes ago, John. What was it?
Oh, God. What was the first album or CD you ever bought?
Oh, Eric Clapton 20th anniversary.
CD or album?
The CD. But that's, I mean, again, I guess I'm a millennial, so CDs were albums. But it was Scorsese Collection.
Okay.
That they came out with for like every major classic rock artist and everything. It was like a silver cover with like a shot of Eric Clapton playing guitar, and like had like the silver wraparound words and everything. And it was all of his greatest hits that he had ever performed over the years. That was the first one.
I think actually my dad had that.
Yeah. It was the first one I ever went out and bought, because I got my first acoustic guitar, like I already talked about, when I was 12. But when I turned 13, my parents gifted me my first electric guitar.
Awesome.
And it was a baby blue Pearl Pickguard humbucker setup Fender Stratocaster. Nice. And
Fender Strat, not a Squire Strat.
Fender Strat, like authentic American Fender Strat.
American, not even a Mexican.
I will say this, and like a quick plug, like not to get super sentimental or emotional or everything. But I was really fortunate growing up. I had a great set of parents and a great set of grandparents that wanted nothing more than to just give me the world and help me chase my dreams. So I was very blessed in that regard.
That's awesome, dude. Me too.
But yeah,
I had a lot of people backing me. So.
Right. And so I got that. And then I remember we went out to the Best Buy in North Myrtle Beach.
Definitely a sold and, look at me.
And because my birthday is July 4th. And so we were down at the beach, and I got my first electric guitar. And we went to the Best Buy in North Myrtle, and I was walking through the DVD section, and I plucked out Eric Clapton and B.B. King Crossroads Concert.
That is an amazing fucking show.
Yes, and so literally the way I learned my way around an electric guitar was I sat in front of the TV with that DVD on repeat with my electric guitar out, and just like learned how to play all those songs, and that was it.
That is probably the worst way to learn guitar.
No, I know, but it was all I had at the time.
No, I'm just saying because they're like so intricate in what they do. Like.
Right, but I was able to pick that out, and like what you guys were talking about, I think maybe before the podcast started, was about how if you just learn tablature and no music theory or music reading or anything, like that's one of the worst ways. I came up by it very, very weird, and I'll get back to the point in just a second. But I learned guitar by taking – I took proper lessons when I was 12, and I got to read music and learn theory, but like just the very tip of it. Like I didn't have enough time to delve into it.
Yeah.
And so when these guys came around on the DVD that I was watching – I had just enough knowledge to know what they were doing, and then I just continued that on like through the rest of my life, to where that's it was awesome. Like learning by listening, by watching, by studying, all this other stuff. But
I don't know a single, like I can't read music for shit, but yeah. I mean, I can play stuff.
Right. And like, I got that DVD, learned everything, and then it came time, like, I've been working a landscaping job. I was 15 years old and finally had enough money to, like, go out and buy something. And to bring it full circle, I was back in a Best Buy and found that Eric Clapton CD. And I was like, you know what? That's the one. And that was the first one I ever bought.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
The first electric guitar you had was an American Strat.
Yes. And so the second electric guitar that I ever had was an authentic 1970s Fender Stratocaster.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
So, like, I can't stress enough, like, when I say I was super fortunate, I truly was. And, like, I don't want to sound like this, like, stuck-up, pretentious kid, because for some reason, like even though I was raised in that and everything, because that's not the case for me now, but back then, I don't know what it was, but every time my family did something that monumental for me, I wasn't like the snotty-nosed brat that was like, of course you did. It was always like, oh my God, this you is the thankful. Best grip.
Yeah,
yeah. I was so thankful and so appreciative of what they were willing to sacrifice just to make sure I had that and could chase that dream. And it was insane because I got an American Strat, my very first electric guitar.
I heard a lot.
And then my second one was the authentic 19, like Jimi Hendrix style. It was cream white. The pickups and like with a maple neck, the fat head, and
sweet.
it was completely authentic.
Your first two guitars were probably some people's fucking grail guitars.
So yeah, so real. Let me walk you through just a quick aside. I know I've been doing that a lot, but
do it.
My very first guitar, the acoustic, was like a $200 Ibanez acoustic. That's that was the entry point, which is about as basic as you can get. But my guitar teacher told them was if you get him this and he learns how to play it, he will be able to play anything that you put in his hands. And so I spent a year, just 7 days a week for 365 days, just toiling away at that Ibanez acoustic. And I had to show progress in order to get my first electric Stratocaster.
That's
and
awesome.
From then on out, I have essentially amassed an insane collection of guitars. I still have my very first electric, that Fender Strat. I no longer have the 1970 Strat because I had to sell it to help pay for college and everything else. Because essentially
paid for your college.
No. Elon is really expensive.
Yeah, I'm just picking.
But I graduated college with it and everything else, but then my student loan started hitting and I was like, you know what? I got to trade this thing in. So I was able to trade it in for a semi-hollow body Ibanez Art Core and still make a profit on it to put it toward my student loans.
Nice.
The responsible decision. But then I went and bought a standard Martin acoustic electric. It was like $500, the 00 body style, while I was still in college. Bought that, and then over the years, my dad's father gifted to me his one and only guitar that he ever bought, and it was a 1962 Dreadnought Yamaha. And I still have that. It's super vintage. Like, I take really good care of it, rarely play it. And then my soon-to-be stepfather, the man who my mom is engaged to right now, he had an authentic Martin acoustic electric from like 1974. And
that's
the
one I was getting ready to mention.
Yeah. And so it has like a V-shaped neck, like solid wood, all this other stuff, like the original electronics in it and everything else. And again, like, that is a very rare guitar for me to actually play.
And you said that he gave it to you. He just can't play it anymore, right? Because his hand's messed up or
something
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what happened was he and my mom started dating. They've been together for, I want to say, about maybe 5 years now. Uh-huh. And they're engaged to be married. And I was home for Christmas. In 2013, last year of college, and he was breaking out all his old guitars and everything, and he has an authentic 1980s tube amp, and he was plugging in like his Gibsons, his Martins, everything, because he has a mad collection of guitars, and I was playing all of them, but then he handed me this Martin that I now have, and I just started ripping across that thing, and I fell in love with it. And so he listened the entire night to me play that thing. We stayed up until like 3 a.m. Playing guitar, swapping stories, all this other stuff. Next night, same thing. Next night, same thing. And like, I always was going back to that Martin acoustic electric. And the day that I was leaving out to go back to college, he said, hold on, don't go anywhere yet. And he went down to the living room and he came back up with that guitar in the original case, which has like tour stickers like from everywhere it's been, like Amsterdam, England, all this other stuff. And he handed it to me. He said, this is yours now. And I went, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. See, and when you told me that story and you can tell, like, I know on the radio, on the fucking whatever you listen to us on, you can't see the look that Ethan has in his eyes. But when he was telling me the story originally, fucking almost a year ago when we first met.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had this look in your face like, this motherfucker, like, just disbelief.
Yeah.
Full appreciation of it.
It felt like that was his essentially like prized possession in terms of guitars over the years. And he saw how much I cared for it and how well
I could
play.
He just wanted you to
it.
Walk him down the aisle when he marries your mom.
And so he, and then like, I didn't even really know the guy that well at that time because I met him maybe like 6 or 7 times. Mm-hmm. And he and I really bonded over all these guitars that he had and everything else. And he just gifted that to me. And I said, Robert, you know, are you sure? Like, I know this is like a really big thing for you. And he said, my hands are too arthritic now to where I can't really get everything out of it that I want to. So take it, take care of it, and play it, and it's yours. And that's what I did.
That's awesome, dude. Look, when he first told me that story, fuck, almost a year ago, like, I got chills when he was telling me.
You probably almost cried.
I honestly, I probably did. I may have cried, actually, because I'm sensitive.
That's awesome, though.
That's a great story, man. I was actually getting ready to ask you about that. You kept talking. Yeah. So I was like, fuck it, he's got it. Yeah. God, dude. I have kind of the same story. Well, not really. It's not that.
Let's do the first album thing.
It's not that exciting.
Let's do that round table.
Well, I have a guitar, I was going to say. My dad bought me. It's a Ibanez Roadstar 2 from 1982. I was born in 1982.
Nice.
And my dad gave it to me. There's two guitars I'll never get rid of. No matter if I quit playing, never play again, doesn't matter. They're always going to be there. And it's that one. I nicknamed it Angel back in the day. It's a four-string bass. And there's a Washburn acoustic that is hanging on my wall. Never going to move. And my dad gave me both of them. But they're both basses. And that's what we are. But yeah, sorry. You're great.
John, first album you remember buying.
First album I remember buying.
I want to do the same thing I kind of did with when we were talking about music that influenced us, or like our first music we remember latching onto. Because like I said, I did the whole Little Bow Wow thing. Yeah. Like, I don't want to talk too much about Little Bow Wow and how much he fucking like has made me the man I am today. You know
you
what
ain't
I mean?
As fresh as I'm is.
Yeah, no, I want to know, like, okay, so, like, even if you had, like, say if you had, like, a fucking, like, Ralphie or, like, fucking Wiggles tape when you were a kid or some bullshit like that.
Ralphie.
I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about the first, like, albums that you...
The first album I actually ever bought would be, and I asked this question not, like, fully knowing that I can't really remember the first
album. I can't
album.
Either, but I'm going to tell you the ones that I definitely remember the most whenever it comes to my turn, so... Because I remember having like an NSYNC album whenever I was a kid, but I was like, did I buy it? Did I tell my mom I wanted it? Did she just buy it for me? You know, I don't know.
The first album I think I remember buying for myself with the money that I earned was, oh my God, I can't remember the name of it. Super Playalistic Cadillac Funky Music by Outkast.
That's a good one.
Yes, sir.
That's tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You played the fuck out of it?
Yeah, it was a cassette. Mm-hmm. Yep, it sure was. That and I bought that and, oh my God, the Rage Against the Machine album with the Burning Monk on the cover.
I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I was in 7th grade and I was in military school. I didn't even buy it. I ripped off BMG for it. Yep, I ripped off BMG for those. Yeah. And even still to this day, like I fucking love Outkast. Like everybody's all about Hey Ya and BY or Bombs Over Baghdad or whatever. No, that Peaches by Outkast is my shit.
What about you, Jamie? What's your first album? First meaningful album. We'll say that.
First meaningful album. Honestly, I'd say I have three.
Yeah, me too. But go ahead.
This is gonna sound crazy, but the Black Album from Metallica. I literally used to fall asleep to that, and I bought it when I was in 7th grade. Actually, when I first met our good buddy Mikey, and I used to fall asleep to that.
When was that? 94?
I don't know.
93?
Something. I literally have no clue how long ago 7th grade was.
We'll see. You're 35.
Yeah.
I'm 25. 7th grade for me was in 02, so
10 years from that.
It would have been the year that I was born.
1993. I'd say 93.
Okay.
I'd say 93 because I remember in 91 because that was like the peak of fucking. 91. I was in. Fuck, I don't know. It was a long time ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry.
You were held back a year.
I was. So it was like 93.
In
93, 94.
Early on?
Yeah, in kindergarten. Actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Fuck.
I wasn't.
I didn't fail kindergarten. Hold on. I didn't fail kindergarten. I was fucking held
does
back.
Does not play well with others.
Because I was. Yes. I was tiny. I was like. I was. The people in this room know my kid and know how little he is. Mm-hmm. I was that little. We also held that little fucker back.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Because I was in military school in '94. And that was the year my dad went to prison. Yeah.
97. So you and I have been friends for now for 20,
friend,
what,
do you
two?
Also have a country song in the works?
No.
No. You
he's
don't
got a country.
Know.
He's got a country album.
Okay. No, I've got like a country discography.
Yeah. Like, what is it? So we met, was it like 22 years ago, right? 22, 23 years ago?
Yeah. We were in eighth grade.
Yeah. So the year before that.
Yeah. No. Because I failed eighth grade. And when I came to Four Oaks, it was my second year.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
But I can't remember. Dude, it was a long fucking time ago. So, Metallica, the Black Album. I literally used to fall asleep to that whole album. And then, I don't remember what Skynyrd album it was. I think it was Pronounced. It was really good. But one album that really stands out to me a lot was my dad used to be in country radio, so we used to get like different albums and different CDs and different songs from new songs from stuff. But one that really stands out to me was it was a double live album from Garth Brooks.
Okay.
And
my dad was a massive Garth Brooks fan, so dude, I probably heard that.
Every song on that album was great. The live version of Friends in Low Places, the live version in The Thunder Rolls.
Yes.
How they both have extra...
Same album. Yeah.
They both have extra verses to them. Thunder Rolls is still probably one of my favorite songs.
Yes.
I like Garth Brooks a lot.
I feel like in this part of the podcast, we need to edit that in and just like let people hear it. Yeah.
Just a Thunder Roll in there.
Yeah. The live version.
That was... 224.
looks like you're gonna have enough for two episodes,
or maybe three,
yeah, maybe 17,
yeah. So, I'd say honestly, yeah, I'd say those three, Pronounced, and that's more recent than my original. The original album, the first CD I ever got was the Black Album, and I believe after that was a Garth Brooks album. It wasn't the double album, but that double album means a lot to me. The John Anderson, I grew up in country music, my dad being in country music radio, stuff like that. So that kind of, that country music has a big part of me, but there was a John Anderson John Anderson tape, and it had the one with Seminole Wind on it. It was purple. That's the only thing I fucking remember about it. The tape itself was purple, and I thought it was weird. It wasn't black or clear or white. So I thought it was kind of
like
cool.
Raekwon. He had the purple tape.
I don't know. Who's Raekwon?
From fucking Wu-Tang.
Mm-mm.
The purple tape.
Mm-mm.
Oh, whatever.
Dude. I don't know. I literally, like, the first time I really listened to rap music
whenever
was
I die,
17 years ago when I started dating my wife.
Whenever I die, I want that to be my tombstone. Whenever I die, I want that to be my tombstone. Raekwon's
purple album?
Raekwon's purple tape.
So, do you know what my burial plan is? And I feel like I should go ahead and get a record of it because I've told my closest friends, but I'll go ahead and get it on the record here. When I die, I want to be cremated. And then have my ashes loaded into shotgun shells. And I want somebody to stand on the side of the mountain and play Highway to Hell by AC/DC and drink Jack Daniels and shoot the shotgun shell ashes out over the mountain.
Fuck yes! Hell yeah!
That sounds fun.
That's so awesome.
What, that's awesome. We can actually, I'm down to go back to that because, yeah. What about you, Jacob?
Okay.
Or you already did yours, right?
No, I didn't.
Bow Wow.
I didn't even know. Well,
Little Bow Wow was your first one. That means so much to you.
No. Well, see, I didn't even get to do my favorite bands. We didn't even
but
get
Little
talk
Bow Wow
about
is your
what are your favorite
time.
Bands?
Well, okay, my two.
Aaron Carter and
tell us your life story, Jacob. Tell us right now.
Fuck you, bro.
it's all love here.
New kids on the block.
So if we're going all the way back fucking 2 hours ago to when we were talking about our most influential I can't remember what the fucking question
only 24 was. Minutes on the podcast.
It was music I like most influential music early was Slayer and Pantera.
Are you doing?
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Slayer and Pantera.
The only Motorhead song that I know is Ace of Spades because Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Ace of Spades.
Yeah,
Slayer,
it's like this. Slayer and
Ace of Spades.
Yes.
Yeah. Slayer exactly. And Pantera are my two most influential, probably, and probably my two top two favorite bands still to this day.
So, quick I like question, Pantar. Quick question.
I like Pantar.
How did Dimebag Darrell's death affect you?
That was the first, like, thank you. That was the first, like, celebrity or, like, musician death that really impacted me. I remember seeing that on the news. And I was like, fuck, because I had just, like, gotten, like, super into Pantera. So,
Pantar.
It was, I was young when that happened. I can't remember what year that was. But
how old are you?
I'm 25, same age as you. All
right. Yeah. I bet the only song that I think I really know from Pantera is Cemetery Gates. It's really good.
I did not realize how bad celebrity deaths could affect people until it came out this year. And there was a friend of mine, and apparently she had this whole backstory with her mom where she had watched the original It miniseries with Tim Curry and everything. And she brought it up, and I went, oh, I think he's dead now. He's not. Tim Curry, he had some big health issue.
He had a bad stroke.
Right, and like that's what I was going off of. But for some reason, like I read that, and then in my mind, over time, it had been distorted into like he had a stroke and died. And so I told her, and before like we could even verify the fact that he was dead, she just like started sobbing.
Oh shit!
Yeah, no, I was like, oh my god, I'm so. And I looked it up real quick, and I was like, he's not dead. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Like, I'm not even one of his fans. Like, I'm so sorry. And that was the first time I really how badly a celebrity death could have
been. As of December 11th, 2017, Tim Curry's not dead yet.
He's alive.
Dimebag was the first celebrity death that really impacted me. I had a in memory of Dimebag shirt whenever I was like 13. I had a Pantera chain wallet whenever I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
I was so into Pantera. We're talking about the first albums we remember buying. Great Southern Tranquil by Pantera is one of them.
Yes, sir.
Great Southern Tranquil is like the one that I got. One of the three albums I remember definitely listening to and first ones I remember like really buying whenever I was a kid was Great Southern Tranquil by Pantera. Live Cannibalism by Cannibal Corpse.
God.
Oh my God. Yes.
I was like 11 or 12 years old and bought Live Cannibalism.
Holy shit, really?
By Cannibal Corpse. It was the live album.
You okay, that bro? Was after. Yo, that was after like the whole like parental advisory things on fucking CDs. I have something to say about Tim Curry after anyway, Jacob goes.
It was Live Cannibalism. And then I had a Metal Blade Records compilation album that was really big to me that I played all the fucking time. It was called Uncorrupted Steel 2, I believe. It had, there's a lot of bands on there that I don't remember because I wasn't into, but I definitely remember listening to Vader on that album.
Okay.
There was a Vader song. There was a Monomarth. There was God Dethroned. I believe Graveworm was on there. 6 Feet Under, Cannibal Corpse, Dying Fetus.
You remember the things in the back of like guitar books or guitar magazines that had like a list of like shirts you can buy and like you can buy like fucking like ashtrays and
rockabilia.
That is what it is. Yeah. That's the only, honestly, even to this day, the only exposure I have to Cannibal Corpse.
Really, dude?
Because I felt like their shirts were so disturbing.
They were banned up until like 2006 in Germany. Because they're extreme. Anyway, so Uncorrupted Steel. It also had Dies Array was on there. There's a lot of bands on there that I fucking found out about through that. So it was Pantera, Grace Southern Trinco, Live Cannibalism by Cannibal Corpse.
God.
And, yeah.
That explains a lot.
Nah, I was like 10 years old whenever I first started listening to like Pantera.
That's how you figured out that your whole right by arm the time, of tattoos were going
to
be dead.
By
bitches.
The time I was 14, I was listening to like fucking Satanic War Master and fucking Dark Throne and shit whenever I was like fucking 13 or 14.
Never heard of it.
Progressed to what? Like motherfuckers over 25 had progressed to.
Yeah.
Yo, I think it's funny that your dad's like a noted, like kind of old school, like country singer.
Yeah. 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 I don't know, man. I just always gravitated to the more like extreme, just brutal music. I don't
know. What's the stigma of it, you know?
Yeah, I just thought it was cool, man. Whenever I remember fucking having dial up internet.
Ooh. And AOL 3.0.
Fucking lime wiring. Yeah. Lime wiring so many fucking
I have a story about AOL and Big John. His mom never paid for AOL for like 19 years. He would get like he would have a new screen name every 300 hours. Cause he just had like he had a stack of fucking 300 hour AOL things from Walmart.
Would steal them. Awesome. Would steal them from Walmart. Me and my cousin. The other one of the 5,000 cousins I have.
Yeah. Actually,
I've been deep into the Satan music for a long time.
If you wanna tell that story, I have a sound effect queued up to kick it off.
Do it. You gotta put it up to the microphone. I can
dial up. Do it. Bone modem noise. I knew it.
Yes. Oh yeah. That's music to my ears.
God, I remember that so much.
Yeah. Welcome to AOL. So good.
I had MSN.
So good. I remember hanging out at Tony's house, reading comic books, dialing up. And then we would hear, like, on the little, like, the modem speaker, his stepmom would come over and was like, are you on the phone? You on the phone? Because there wasn't a dedicated line. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to use the phone.
Get off the internet. Stop looking at porn.
I got to send an email. Is there anybody going to be on the internet for, like, the next 45 minutes?
Yeah.
You guys and that
song, or the phone, sorry.
That song just introduced Vampire the Masquerade to me.
Well, yeah. You guys are big into chat rooms, right?
Back in the day.
Super into chat rooms. I was really into this anime chat room whenever I was, like, fucking...
Chat rooms...
I was terrified of chat rooms.
Chat rooms are the only reason I know...
I held off on social media altogether until, like, 2009.
Did you?
Yeah, I was super scared of, like, with chat rooms, social media, all this other stuff.
There was a song about "I'm gonna buy a bitch and Camaro with my share of the booty," or
what
something.
The fuck was that?
I don't.
We saw that in the chat.
It was in a chat room, and it has literally stuck with me since I was 14.
I miss chat rooms. There's no good chat rooms anymore.
I had a long distance girlfriend.
There's like Encyclopedia Metallicum has like an IRC chat room, but no one really gets on. People idle in it all the time, but no one really talks in it.
Talking about mashups with like different background songs, like the dial up mashup that you were just talking about. Have you heard Childish Gambino and The Weeknd's mashup with Stranger Things theme song?
No. Oh my God!
The only thing I know from him is he wanted to be Spider-Man.
True. But you should listen to that.
And then he was in Spider-Man Homecoming as Miles Morales' uncle, which is the new Spider-Man.
Alternate.
Yeah. Sorry. Whoa. Nerded out there for a second. Lost my head.
Yeah, you killed that.
Whoa. I don't know shit about him. And he's
what
in a show.
What were we talking about?
Got everything.
I talked about...
Talking about Pantera.
Yeah.
Yours is Great Southern... Trinkill.
Yeah, that was my first album with
Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah.
What there was? He said something about somebody.
My second album was Far Beyond Driven.
Yeah.
My second Pantera album I ever bought was Far Beyond Driven.
What about your third?
I definitely had like Vulgar Display of Power and Cowboys from Hell. The only one I never had that I never owned, but I've listened to it is Reinventing the Steel.
Reinvention Steel is pretty good.
I had their greatest hits album. It was their greatest hits album was called The Great Southern Cowboys Vulgar something. It was like the title of the compilation of the greatest hits album was like a combination of like all their albums put together.
Yeah. What was that band that kind of was born out of Pantera? That was like Pantera and Dave Dalio Co.
That's Rebel Meets Rebel.
Oh my God, that's so bad. And they had that song Rebel Hell Rebel, yeah or some shit like that.
No, there's a band Hell Yeah, Vinny. Is from Vinnie Paul plays in Hell Yeah, which I met their lead singer, their guitarist, and their bassist a few months ago
at a bar randomly.
No, it was we were at Oak City Meatball,
dude,
in Raleigh, and they were playing at the Lincoln. I didn't know they were playing. I just seen all these people on the street wearing Hell Yeah t-shirts. So I was like, okay, all right. So there's a show going on, and then fucking Chad Gray from Hell Yeah and Mudvayne comes walking in the door, and like these. I didn't recognize him at first because he's got like black and like fire engine red dreadlocks now, apparently. Or at that time.
As he should.
Because Hell Yeah, some of the dudes, you might have just said this and I didn't hear you, but it's some of the dudes from Mudvayne, right?
It's
John did. I
it's Chad Gray, the lead singer from Mudvayne, and the guitarist from Mudvayne used to be in it, but he quit.
Wasn't there something about Mudvayne and Slipknot? Didn't they do a band together or some shit like that?
I have no idea.
You want to hear a bad joke though?
Yeah.
What's the best thing to come out of Dimebag Darrell's death?
Oh, no.
Damage Plan is no longer a band.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Damage
terrible.
Plan had one good song.
I never liked Damage Plan.
They had one good song.
Dude, to be honest, I didn't like any of the music after Pantera from any of the members except for Phil Anselmo, and I like almost everything Phil Anselmo's ever done.
Down.
Super Joint Ritual. Scour. I don't know if you've listened to Scour.
No.
It's like Phil Anselmo doing black metal, dude.
John and I were talking about Down and Super Joint the other day.
Yeah, I love both of those bands.
Superjoint has Hank the Third in it.
Plays bass, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and it was just a heroin-fueled record sesh.
Yep.
Love it, dude. I love Superjoint Ritual so much.
We're very much like Superjoint Ritual right now. We're just an alcohol-fueled record sesh.
Yeah. He's got a new band. It's kind of punkish, and I can't remember the name of it. It's like Phil Anselmo and the Bastards or some shit like that.
We were talking about like kind of like heavy metal bands.
You were riding with me, and I was listening to Corrosion of Conformity.
Corrosion of Conformity, which is coming out with a new album.
With Pepper.
With Pepper Keenan. With Pepper. Now,
I'm not... He's not my favorite.
Little shout out, though. I mean, there's some North Carolina guys.
No, I love, dude. I mean, fucking love Corrosion.
Conformity, like, they've
been
around.
If you're from North Carolina and know of Corrosion Conformity and don't like them, you're not really from North Carolina, I feel.
Yeah.
Corrosion Conformity just sounds so fucking North Carolina.
They are literally, we're all Johnson County boys, except for Ethan. He's on his phone, so he doesn't count right now.
Coming in hot from Burke County.
But, like, Corrosion Conformity is almost Johnson County boys.
No, they are. I ran into one of the guys that played bass.
They're from
for
like
them,
Wendell, like Wendell Zebulon area.
He was either like a studio bass player or like he toured with them at the Brogdon store like a couple years ago.
Yeah, dude. Like our buddy Cody. Broad Slab.
Yeah, from Broad Slab. Great. They're a good band.
I've tattooed with him. He got me into CrossFit and kind of helped me change my life to the healthy side a little bit. And he actually, he's played music with those guys.
He recorded with Reed Mullins.
Yeah.
He had a recording studio. I think he still got a recording studio in it.
Something about Pepper, too. Like, he knows Pepper some way.
Pepper used to live in Clayton.
I just think it's cool. Like, the Corrosion of Conformity, and not a lot of people know that those dudes are, like, North Carolina boys. And not just North Carolina boys. They're, like,
local.
Fucking almost
Joko.
Local.
They came
like, Johnson County boys.
They came up. They started out as a punk band in Raleigh.
Yeah.
And they played at the brewery, rest in peace, because... That was the only place.
Rest in pieces. I was there that night. They tore it to pieces.
Yeah, we ripped
Whoa,
that motherfucker.
Dustin Long, y'all.
The cages. I thought Riker broke in for a second.
I really thought.
Hell yeah! Thank you.
A ghost was here.
My ears hurt, dude. My fucking heart dropped. I was like, "Who in the fuck?"
Real talk. We've been recording for like 3.5 hours.
Nah, so wait. Earlier, when I was talking about my musical influences. And you guys were saying I would probably get along great with Dustin.
That's Dustin.
This is the guy.
Okay. Yeah, we get done recording. I know Dustin just got off. He's probably tired and don't want to deal with our shit right now. But, God, y'all got to play guitar together, man.
I was talking about how my influences are essentially Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, and B.B. King.
Okay. And you brought out how
you guys were into, well, you.
You didn't you bring into, out Robert Johnson, too?
Yeah, Robert Johnson and pre-World War Blues, all that good stuff. Yeah.
These two guys. They just, oh. It's a new relationship.
Couldn't make magic. Just
throw that shit in the floor, man.
It's a bromance.
Yeah. I'm good with it.
Fucking cat pet.
I'm already into it.
Long yawn.
How was work, Dustin?
Was it good?
It was good. Okay.
I like how he talked louder.
Jill from fucking Canada. Goddamn, sync up with pictures.
Oh, man. The internet sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
Fucking Apple sucks sometimes.
We can't say that out loud.
Huh?
We can't say that.
He won't own the mic.
Oh man, you just threw me off. What was I gonna say? I mentioned something to you.
I
want to say something about someone.
And fuck, I don't know.
Curry, Tim Curry.
Yes.
Tim Curry was in an interview. Yeah, I know it's
that
playback.
Was,
rewind.
Yeah,
holy track.
What the fuck was that?
Tim Curry was he had an interview after the new It movie came out. He's like, you know what? This movie's really good. And he had his like slurred speech and his fucking cool ass wheelchair because he's rich and he's had a stroke.
Yeah, he is essentially Professor X.
I thought Stranger Things.
He is essentially, yeah.
I thought Stranger Things the movie was pretty good too.
Did I say Stranger Things?
It was Stranger Things. Like my
it was strange. That's for sure.
I haven't seen either one of those.
Like it was good. And my brother, the way he described it to me was it's Stranger Things, but it's R rated. And then when I finally watched it. The kid from Stranger Things is in it, and I'm like,
Finn
okay.
Wolfhart or whatever his name, which is like the most fucking metal name ever.
Are you serious? Really? Finn Wolfhart is this kid's name?
Yes. Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
he sounds like
a
fucking
metal
Viking,
band.
Dude.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Like it is a good movie. I enjoyed it. I can't wait for the sequel.
John has a bottle opener. All right, you got it, boo.
I don't need it.
God, you're a professional. Get it. Back to Tim Curry.
Yes.
He made this. He was in an interview. He's like, it's all right movie. And apparently, the little kid in this movie was scared to death of Tim Curry in the suit.
Would he not be?
I would be.
There it is.
Tim Curry in the suit or
Tim Curry?
Andrew Skarsgård.
Tim Curry, the original.
It wasn't Was it Andrew?
The it's one of the Skarsgårds of those fucking one of those
dudes.
Bill Skarsgård?
Icelandic Hollywood.
Bill, yeah, that's it.
Well, yeah, this dude, yes. This little kid, he told a story about him becoming it.
You know, his brother was in True Blood.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
you know, Alexander, I'm just going to keep interrupting
Alexander
you.
Skarsgård. Alexander
and he also was
Tarzan. You know, his dad was in, his dad was in his Thor. His dad was in Thor and yes. fucking Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, yes. His dad okay, played all right, Loki's, all right,
sorry.
His dad plays Loki bit. Loki's
Jamie,
bitch.
Jamie, you have the floor. So sorry.
Skarsgård. They got a sister,
Skarsgård.
Too. Somebody do some research. They got a sister too. They fucking, they're all Vikings and they're fucking fantastic, beautiful people. They're also, they have another brother. Actually, it might be the one that was in it. I'm not sure, but he played. There's a lot. One of the Skarsgård
family.
One of the Skarsgårds played Loki in the Viking in Vikings.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah.
We have Alexander Skarsgård.
That's the beautiful one.
That's one
he's,
from True
he's
Blood.
The one in True Blood.
Yeah.
Bill Skarsgård, who is in It.
Which is not
who
vampire
is Pennywise. We have Gustav Skarsgård.
That's the one from Vikings.
And then we have...
No.
Yes, it is Gustav Skarsgård.
It is.
Okay.
And then we have My Skarsgård. Literally just M.Y. Skarsgård.
And then
My
Stellan
listen,
is
that's
dad.
A little fucking hard, man. You're just calling him out. Like, that's My Skarsgård. You can't have that one.
Stella or Stellan is like the guy from
Then we have a spouse of one of them, Megan Everett. She's
not a Skarsgård. She doesn't count.
We're getting into it. We have Walter Skarsgård.
Jesus.
Then we have Asia Skarsgård,
bullshit.
Spelled E I J A.
How do you know it's pronounced Asia?
How else would that be pronounced?
You know, phonetically. I'm just phonics was good to me.
Yeah,
yeah, he had that hook. He had that hooked on phonics when
yes.
he was a kid, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently they teach people different in damn Appalachia.
Hey, you tone that down right now, Appalachia. And then we have Sam Skarsgård. We have Colborn Skarsgård. We have Ossian Skarsgård.
Are you kidding me?
We have Gundren Larsson, and then Jan Skarsgård.
It's all of Iceland.
Like a fucking Skyrim family.
I mean, really?
So those are the Skarsgårds.
What about
there's
Stellan?
No girl?
Did you say Stellan? And that's fucking Disney?
Stellan's the dad. He's birthed all these fucking beautiful Icelandic creatures. You never said Stellan. He's the dad that played Loki's bitch in Thor.
I mean, I don't know what kind of monster would just go on the internet and lie, but I guess the internet lied to me.
He was the dickhead math professor in Good Will Hunting, dude.
Yeah, he was the dad.
He was the guy that Robin Williams hated because he took, I don't know, it was some crazy shit. You ever seen the movie Good Will Hunting? It's just wild.
I just think it's funny.
How you
that,
like them apples?
I just think it's funny that Loki.
Fucking Gordon Wood. You going to fucking sit here regurgitating Gordon Wood?
I've never seen that movie either, so. I just think it's funny that Loki controlled the dad of the Skarsgård, and then the other kid is Loki from Vikings.
Shit's hype.
It's crazy. He builds boats. I don't know if you've ever seen Vikings, but Vikings is badass. Anyway, Tim Curry fucking told the story about this motherfucking kid that was fucking scared of him. And this guy,
we've gone back to Tim Curry like
Jesus Christ. Well, nobody else is. He's in a wheelchair. But this kid's like super scared of him and fucking like the guy. Yes, please. The kid's like, I'm over it. Whatever.
The kid's scared of him, dude. Get it out.
Tell us about Tim Curry.
He said something
about... Did you know the one guy from Good Will Hunting?
Shut the fuck up.
We haven't gotten off track at all.
No.
Never.
No, we really... I mean, we were pretty on track for the first 2 hours
first three
and 30 minutes.
Three and a half hours?
You know.
He told a story of the kid being scared of him, and the guy's like, I don't want to go down in the basement. I'm scared. And he's like, yeah, that's kind of the point. So you got to be... It was just stupid. I'm sorry. I fucked it up.
It's okay, dude. It's okay. You're fucking thinking about... You got Good Will Hunting on the brain. I get it.
Good Will Hunting, man.
Fuck yeah, Gordon Wood, bro.
Gordon
fucking Wood, bro.
That's got that move. That's got that dude in that kills the Nazis,
it's not,
right?
Hey, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
I want to watch this. Is it good?
Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
Dude, it's like one of my top fucking five movies of all time.
No shit, really?
I fucking love Good Will Hunting.
Look, I spent last night watching Disney movies. We don't know that. The fact that the
Kevin Smith was actually a producer on
Yes, sir, he was, dude. It was Ben Affleck.
Because the people in it.
Goddamn. This needs to be like the Lost episode. Like, you just don't publish it until like randomly. Like,
we already had one of those. We already had one of those. The very first.
So this is like
Lost. What we've been recording for? What? How long? Like 2 hours and 47 minutes.
2 hours and 47 minutes and 5 seconds.
Dude, run!
Wow!
God damn!
Wow! Man, it was four. It was. It was that amount of time before he finished the sentence, and then it got 5 seconds over.
In his my defense, I said how long we've been recording, like just a little while
ago. You said 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and then you just did math.
Nah, dude.
Whatever.
Ooh, all right, newspapers. I'm smarter than you.
Hey, listen, let's keep that out of this.
Yeah, he knows how to do math. He watched Good Will Hunting.
Oh, yeah, we're not talking about that. Right. I grew up in the mountains. I'm smarter than you.
No, let's just reiterate. I'm not here in any professional capacity.
We've already established any organization.
I just want to reestablish.
Well, it sounds to me that the podcast is going to go longer now.
I mean, we're going on 3 hours. This is going to be like 7 episodes.
Yeah.
I'm into it. It's like a fucking has the rest of the year off.
Or you just
actually, it is.
But I was going to say, wait, you publish it all at once and just call it the Marathon Podcast and do nothing until January.
Fuck. Nah. I mean, that sounds like a fucking. Really, it sounds like a plan.
It is a good one, but good.
Because really, like
the thing is though that most people listen to a podcast for about an hour until they're over it. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? So if they're going to listen to the first hour of it, and then if they don't finish it, they're going to never go back to it. That's how I am with podcasts.
Yeah, you know what? We'll break it up. They're good with it.
It's about a 4 week podcast at this point.
Nah, it's three. It's going on three.
Which is by the exactly time we how finish, much time is left.
Let's
in this
talk
year.
About it until it is three.
By the time it's three, we will be at three. So we're done with Good Will Hunting, Tim Curry. I'm looking at him right now. I'm literally looked up and saw Tim Curry on your wall.
That's okay. All right. That is Tim Curry. Yeah. I'm going to introduce an entirely new concept here.
Okay.
Completely random.
We still never played Cards Against Humanity.
It's okay. We can get there. We can record for 5 hours. But I saw the whole sticker on the mirror with the Maryland flag, which raised the question in my mind, gentlemen. What is the most interesting or craziest place you've ever been?
Oh, my God. Ooh. I actually have another question after that about podcasts. I'm going to mention a couple podcasts I've been listening to lately, so we'll go to that.
Answer the fucking question.
I'm not going first.
I don't know off the top of my head. Let me think.
John knows. John's been a lot of crazy-ass places like Mexico.
Goddamn. It's a tough one.
I went to Paris.
Dustin's here now.
Are you talking about the craziest place?
Like, I went all over
Europe.
You
asked the question. You know.
Right. I went all over Europe. Craziest place I went was Paris, but the story that I have from there that makes it the craziest place, I feel like I can't tell.
Dude, Lowbrow Nation exclusive, bro. Tell it. Come on now.
Why can't you tell it? Jacob told us he loves Little Bow Wow and Aaron Carter.
And he's got a straight edge tattoo that's
well,
like block.
It's a lot.
It's the tribal briefcase.
It's maybe that's so I'll put it this way. Let's with that story, when this podcast is over, I will tell it and we can save it to like just spring on the public. At a random time, because it's a really wild story.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
You can't preface.
Oh, no, you can't. No.
You know what that's called?
You can't.
That's a teaser.
That's a teaser. Yeah. That is a teaser. That's a teaser.
Stay fucking tuned.
Fucking cliffhanger right there.
Lowbrow citizens.
We'll record the pot. We'll record what Ethan Smith is getting ready to say. And we
Did
will,
you have to say my whole name?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's your name. God. My name is James Linwood. Massengill, the number two.
Mine's just Ethan Andrew.
Oh,
yeah.
We'll go with that, Ethan Andrew. We'll record
it's
to Ethan Andrew.
Like we haven't said his name 5 times.
I mean,
well, that's how you get Candyman to show up.
So, like, there's you know the whole what is it, Bloody Mary thing? In
yeah,
the
you
mirror?
Spin around 3 times. You
right.
look in a mirror. In the
we
dark
we have this joke. One of my friends, Brian Cherry. You met him.
Uh huh.
He always makes the strongest gin and tonics in the entire world. He'll pour them in a pint glass.
That's my
and he used like New Amsterdam or like whatever ridiculous shit. And he'll make it like 3/4 gin and like 1/4 tonic.
That sounds shit.
And so we say that if you say Brian those. Cherry and spin around 3 times in a mirror, that he just appears behind you with a gin and tonic.
Oh, wow. Now, Jacob's going to try it.
Oh, dude, immediately, like, gin and diet tonic, please.
I mean, literally, just come to Goldsboro one weekend, and we always, like, party together on weekends.
Yeah, we're going to have to hang out.
So, yeah, like, yeah, we all I'm just down. Need to hang out in Goldsboro and do the whole gin and tonic thing, because that is a black hole that you will never forget being
I
in.
I fucking love gin and tonics, dude.
I don't like gin and tonics.
I had a gin and tonic.
Dude, it's good. Do you like gin? Have you had gin?
Yeah, I like gin.
Gin tastes like kissing a dude on the neck in the 1970s.
Nah, all right. Gin is good.
I was there.
I mean, I'm down for thick mustaches. It ain't even got to make sense.
The past two and a half hours haven't. So cool.
Y'all about to pull a shift.
So maybe this is the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon episode.
We literally have a morning show. Like
a morning show. Yeah.
We just need commercials.
Linwood in the morning.
Yo, that sounds good. Let's do it. Get
morning out. Linwood.
Yeah, there you go. It's all coming together.
Yes.
So y'all already talk about your little jail tour you did?
What?
I mean, I saw you got tagged at like.
Yeah, we already talked about that.
Okay. Let's not talk about that again.
Okay.
Please. Yeah. I'm literally begging to all that is holy that we don't talk about that again.
Okay. I'll listen to it.
I'm already so traumatized.
It was Jacob's. It is the blood stain. It is the blood
stain. I don't know. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff in my life, and that whole story, I was leaned back in my chair, and they said, "Ethan, you're being really quiet." And I said, "I'm utterly speechless."
It was gross.
It was a gross one.
That's one of the best beers, dude. We're drinking old Sam Smith's
organic chocolate stout.
Nice.
It literally tastes like beer and Hershey syrup.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Like a cigar in my mouth.
Yeah. I don't know how to tell you this, Jacob. You're out of keto now.
Yeah, you just broke keto with that one sip.
That was at least 90 grams of sugar.
Holy fuck, that shit was sweet.
Wait, no, hold on. Like, just looking out Let me look up the nutrition facts.
It tastes like what I remember chocolate syrup tasting like.
Wow, yeah, it tastes like chocolate syrup.
Yeah.
I'm not even shitting you, dude.
Let me look this up for you. And
I can put that on ice cream.
We got a new fact checker. His name's Ethan Andrew.
It was a sip.
Thank you.
It was a sip. How many carbs are in a bottle of that? That way I can know. How many sips are in a bottle? And then we can figure out the carbs, and then we can cross-reference.
It literally says, don't drink it if you're pregnant.
Yeah, I'm like fucking seven beers in.
Isn't that all beers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's everything.
That's literally everything in general.
Excuse me. It's going to mess up your baby. That's all I know.
Okay.
Your baby's going to come out drunk.
The Samuel Smith's Organic Chocolate Stout.
It's 5%.
12 ounce. It is 5%.
It's bullshit.
IBU 28. Ingredients: water, organic barley malt, organic cane sugar, organic hops, organic cocoa, and yeast. Nutritional info: serving size 12 ounces, one bottle. Calories 220, 0 grams of fat, 10 milligrams of sodium, 21 grams of carbs, 6 grams of sugar, and 2 grams of protein.
That's not that bad.
Not as bad as what I thought it would be.
I could drink a bottle of that and monitor my carbs for the rest of the day and still be in keto.
Yo, I literally thought. Yeah. That was going to be way higher than it is.
I thought so it like actually, 50 or 60,
fun story. Yeah. Shout out to the guys at Brewworks again.
Oh, 207 North John Street.
No Joe Dotto. There was
Gobo. Yes,
Gobo Dotto.
What is the Gobo?
Goldsboro.
Oh. It's no Joe.
But they they have their whole bottles and can selection.
Mojo Jojo.
So
Mojo Jojo.
We all know how they have like the three television screens, and the far left one, it's their bottle and can.
It's the Bernie Sanders one.
Yes. And
what?
And what? So
far left.
I get it. They just recently switched over their whole menu setup to where it's not just like lines and like whatever. They actually display like the brewery, its icon, and all of the nutritional information. And there's this sour that I really, really like. And it's by D9 Brewing.
Amazing brewery.
Yes.
D9 is, yes. I've never had a bad, so I don't it like was, IPAs and D9
I'm
has
about,
good
I'm about
stuff.
To hurt your heart. Because it's their Defying Gravity Series Sour, and it's the 14.2% dark chocolate and cherry sour. And
it sounds bad already.
No. Here's the thing. It tastes so good. It tastes like fruit punch with like just the littlest hint of chocolate in it, and it's incredible. But they switched their menu display to where there was like the nutritional value and everything.
Yeah.
And I drink sours because I think that they're less calories than everything else, because typically they are.
If there's bacteria in it, it's good for you.
Right. And yogurt. So
it's basically kombucha.
They put up the nutritional value.
Kombucha.
And I order one. Yeah. And I get the bottle, and then I look up there and I was like, oh my God. For one 12-ounce bottle of the D9 Defying Gravity, it's 420 calories.
Holy shit. Yeah,
okay, that was my exact reaction. That's I could not believe it.
Chocolate stuff.
Yes, exactly. And like that tastes like it should be like a whole Hershey bar. Yeah. But like this stuff, it tastes like fruit punch, little hint of chocolate, like super light, and it's really strong. So you drink those for the efficacy of them.
It's
and like,
really
you're not
strong.
Thinking about
14.5?
It. 14.5? Yeah. And wow. So like you're not even thinking about it. And then you look at the calories and you're like, oh my God, that's a whole meal. Are you kidding me? And yeah. There was one night and I went and I drank five of them. And I yeah. And I woke up the next morning feeling like trash, feeling bloated. Like it was a weekend morning, so it wasn't a big deal. I didn't have anything to do that
day. You get
day.
The beer shits?
No. Oh, it was just
I
like
love
I was
the beer farts.
It was
farts
like feels the whole so good. The whole bloat face going on and like the weird gut. And like I felt so uncomfortable and I was like, all I drank last night were sours, like I shouldn't be feeling like this. And then I saw what the actual nutrition on it was and I was like, well, no freaking wonder I had a whole day's worth of calories. Yeah.
Dude.
So, it's literally the monster burger of beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
The monster burger has so many calories in it. The monster burger, if you get the monster burger. Yes. If you get it low carb.
30 calories.
If you get it low carb, it's still like 1,000 calories. Yes. Without the bread. Yeah.
Yeah. 2,030 calories for one burger. Yeah.
That is.
I eat that often.
And here's the thing. If I want that, I'm going to go to like a proper burger joint and get something with like fried onions and egg, bacon, you know, all this other stuff on it.
Like, that's just. My brother ate two of those when he was fucking 11 years old.
But
listen,
why?
Listen, we're going to talk about.
Big boy.
Yeah. We can talk about
you
burgers.
Don't
we can talk about burgers in a second. You people from Appalachia.
Careful.
People. What you mean?
People.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Don't get your ass whooped, boy.
People.
I mean, I know this is a little.
My beard will come over there and whoop you.
Oh. Tie me up.
Ooh.
Wait.
What?
Yeah.
Who I'm said good that?
Whatever.
All right. This is reached unprecedented levels of ridiculous.
You and Zach both say proper a lot.
Okay.
And I'm just like, it's just weird that y'all say proper a lot.
Well, you say gay shit a lot.
I do.
So actually,
I can't be mad at that because it's true.
Fun fact, there's actually a lot of dialect and sayings and slang up in the mountains that aren't anywhere else. Have you guys ever heard the word cattywampus?
Yeah,
oh, cattywampus. Oh, yes, sir.
Okay.
John has a cattywampus tattoo.
I say cattywampus a lot.
Do you know what cattywampus is?
I have a cat.
Like catty-cornered. Like crooked.
Off-center. Off-center. Yeah, crooked. Yeah.
Now, John has a tattoo of a
Wampus cat.
Wampus cat.
Yes.
Cattywampus.
Yep, right yep. there.
The reason it is because it's kind of a little off.
I like it.
Yep.
There's another
that's cool
one.
That you know it. Remember. Like a lot of people don't know that.
It's my grandmother is from the hood in Goldsboro, and I say that affectionately. She grew up in the projects off Slocum Street in Goldsboro.
Slocum so, like, Street's where you get shot.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And there's another
you get
one.
Two things. You get a shot or a piece of pussy.
There it is.
About weed.
So there's another term in the mountains. Side goggling.
What?
Side goggling.
Side goggling.
Yeah. It just means side eye.
Like, yeah, like you got crooked eye.
Cockeyed. Yeah, like. Or if you're like glaring at somebody, side-goggling. Yeah.
What did you say, Dustin?
Huh?
What did you say?
Yeah. I was just trying to mock that shit.
Yeah, side-goggling. But I don't know. Like North Carolina is crazy because we have 100 counties and at least as many dialects in the same state.
Yeah, dude. You go to like the eastern part, like fucking Atlantic.
Yeah.
And then even in the Hyde County and Dare County, the high titles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it literally, I've said this many times, high titles sound like... High titers sound like they're like drunk, like redneck Bostonians.
Yes.
That literally just got the boat from Ireland, but they've been drinking a lot of beer.
Yep.
I mean, they sound like drunk redneck Yankees.
You say that all the time?
To customers. Well,
I say this all the time, but they sound like drunk Boston, Ireland people who just drink a lot of beer. And it didn't sound like you said it all the time. You said it very unconfident in what you were saying.
I say it as unconfidently every time.
What had happened was...
Let me see them sunglasses.
I was looking for those today, actually.
Sunglasses. I went to your dad's. Cool.
Are you doing your Eric Church impression right
yeah.
now?
Yes. Okay, wait. Yeah. So...
Carrie King right now.
Looping it right back around. Yep. Nobody else told their story about the craziest place they've ever been.
Right.
Craziest. Oh, fuck. We never did.
No.
Holy shit.
Bring it back full circle. Let's
this
go.
Is the craziest place.
Episode. John's ever been. Go.
Johnston County.
You ever heard of a place called Brogdon?
You ever heard of a place called Brogdon?
Has you ever even been there?
I have seen a half-naked man hanging from a bridge while five other dudes piss off of it onto cars going down 40 Highway.
That's fucking that's
where?
Broadslab.
In Broadslab.
Broadslab.
Good.
Good
old Broadslab.
The craziest place I've ever been. I don't know. Like I've
been some crazy places.
I've been some crazy places, but like the
well, tell us.
Like the craziest fucking stories I have are from fucking Broadslab. Like my boy Grimes hanging from a fucking bridge with his pants down around his ankles as five other dudes pissed on cars going down fucking 40 highway.
That sounds terrible.
Fucking hilarious.
Are those the same dudes that got arrested for throwing tombstones in the car windows?
No.
Are you sure?
Not positive.
Did I look that good with those on?
No. I was going to say that. They look good on him.
He's got the fucking beard and the
look
hair.
Look at this guy.
With the tie and everything. Dude, like, yeah.
Somebody take a picture of that. It's for the Instagram.
Please don't.
Hashtag.
Do it for the gram.
Don't tell me no.
I don't know the craziest place I've ever been. I went to Columbus, Ohio, and West Virginia. West Virginia was pretty crazy.
That was when you were playing the major league game in it.
Yeah.
Honestly, West
Virginia's pretty wild.
One of the craziest places I've ever been, but it's not that crazy to me, is a tattoo convention. Because literally, like, I mean, there's chicks walking around with like limited clothes on. They have like fucking pinup contests with bitches. Just fucking.
I wonder what unlimited clothes look like.
Titties.
Unlimited respawn.
Instant respawn.
I don't really have like a crazy place I've ever been. I would say I'd go back to Broadside though.
Bro,
I've seen some fucking stupid fucked up shit in that area of the
woods. Like the night that like almost got shot in the head by SKS.
Yeah. Or the fucking guy we were the night we were fucking hanging out. I think it was the same night. The motherfucker's going down the road at least fucking 50 miles an hour and throws his truck in reverse and spins it around. Or the night in the same area where the dude they scheduled a fight scheduled a fight because somebody was talking to some other person's old lady behind the local grocery store
Pig
in Benson. Nah, it was Carly C's IGA. I mean, you can tell stories better. No, I suck at telling stories. And the dude they scheduled a fight. Dude's dad was there, and one of our buddies put his nose through the roof of his mouth.
Wait, hold what? Hold on. How does that? What?
He hit him so hard in the nose that his nose broke, and it broke the top palate of his mouth.
That's fucking metal.
Yeah.
That's broad slab, dude.
Like,
that's insane.
I've never felt the only time I've ever felt any like legitimate fear that I was going to lose my life was when I was in broad slab and I had a guy pull a gun on me. Because me and a friend, the same guy who fucking tore his transmission out of his truck doing donuts in reverse, decided that he just needed to see his ex-girlfriend. And some guy just kept...
Oh, God.
My thing, like, drug dealers, like, if someone tells you no, this is, like, fucking weird. If someone tells you, no, I don't want to buy any crack from you, then don't try five more times.
Yeah.
Like, we're not here for crack. God damn, this just sounds
life advice from
speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Don't
so,
smoke crack.
So we're sitting here crack in this parking lot whack. Waiting for this girl to get off, and this guy just keeps coming walking up. Hey man, you want to buy some crack? First two times, no man, we don't, you know, don't do that. We don't do that, you know.
Yeah.
He comes back three more times. The last time my friend
sure,
fucking,
sure you don't want some rock?
Yeah.
I got some rock.
Yeah. The last time my friend just loses his shit, he's like, get the fuck away or I'm going to fuck you up. All of a sudden, this is this older guy, kind of frail looking, gray headed.
He's a crackhead. He's going to be
frail. He's a crackhead. As soon as my friend just raises his fucking voice, this big fucking like roided out dude just comes from out of the shadows and is like, is there a goddamn problem here? And I was like, oh shit. I was like, oh fuck. And my buddy was like, if your fucking boy would stop trying to sell me fucking crack right now, we'd be fine. And the guy was like, no, is there a goddamn problem here? And we were like, dude, just go the fuck away. We'll be fine. And next thing you know, he's like, he just fucking pulls up out of his way, some fucking Glock, and he just points at us like, is there a goddamn problem? My friend.
Are you sure it was a Glock? Or was just, it some
did
other?
You, did it you looked end, like a
manufacturer
Glock.
Did
you
of
end
firearms.
Up? Did you end up buying crack?
No.
I would have been like, let me get a 20 bag, bro. You're going to put a gun in my face. Let me get a rock.
No. My friend, at this point, any other normal person would be like, all right, dude.
I would need some crack to deal with that, dude.
We're leaving right now. I'm sorry. Look, just chill the fuck out.
But this other friend we're talking about is probably
the worst person to ever do that.
5'10", maybe 170 pounds, soaking wet. But this motherfucker, no.
Has a serious problem.
This motherfucker is 10 feet tall and bulletproof 92% of the time.
Yeah.
Unless his ex old lady's involved. Then he's like 3 feet. But yeah, like, no shit. This guy is like the ballsiest son of a bitch I've ever met in my life.
Yeah. Legitimately. Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't imagine that. Nah, that's stupid. What was that noise?
It was me.
So, are Jacob. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Jacob.
What?
Craziest place you ever been?
You can't say Brogdon because Broadside already beat that out.
Dude,
there been any crazy bars?
West Virginia.
Yes.
Speaking of West Virginia, Barstool Sports bought Rough and Ready.
Thank you.
Brawl. And Rough and Ready is going to have a pay per view coming on this Friday night. And it's basically just a pay per view like Tough Man competition. It's $9. Rough and Ready Brawl in rough in the letter N. roughandreadybrawl.com. You can buy it and you can watch it. And I hate to be plugging a fucking Barstool because they make a lot of money, but they got a really good golf podcast. So
what are you talking about again?
You get to watch fucking people punch each other's face in, and it's based out of West Virginia. They're like a bunch of fucking hillbillies from West Virginia.
West Virginia
beating the shit out of each other. It's awesome. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna get it and I'm gonna watch it at the house.
How long is this podcast at this point? Like 3 hours and 1 minute?
3:08. It'll be 3 episodes.
Are we gonna do the Paris story and then call it?
The what story?
I feel like we should call it before then.
Before the Paris story? Yeah. We're gonna
let's call it before. That's gonna be a whole separate thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We can just end this episode and be like, all right, this is the end of the episode. Stay tuned for the Paris story and then you tell the Paris story.
Yeah, we can do it like a supplemental, like a captain's log.
I'm terrified to put that story on the record because I was 16 and really dumb.
Well, John, the stories John just said, he was 16.
You have what's it called? what is it? Not diplomatic. Is it diplomatic immunity?
No, I have none of that. It's a
diplomatic. What the fuck is it called?
Statute of limitations.
Statute of limitations. There you go. Yeah.
No, like that's, there's nothing illegal involved. It's just
it was less unsavory. Than 10 years ago because he used his babies.
It was 11 years ago.
It was nothing illegal then, dude.
Yeah, nothing. Just unsavory.
What did you like? Fucking. I don't know what happened.
What changed your name?
No comment.
Look, we've already mentioned his name in full.
Yeah.
We've mentioned his place of business.
I
can't be telling that in the same episode.
No. Yeah.
What
for sure.
We actually, like, this whole past minute, we should probably just slop off the end. Actually, yeah. Like, legit, let's just slop off the last minute.
I mean, I don't want the man to lose his job.
Yeah, that'd be ideal. If I didn't lose my job.
Yeah.
Fair.
So let's wrap it and then we'll smoke a cigarette and I'll tell you.
Fuck yeah, we'll cut this shit off right now. I want to hear the goddamn story. All right.
Well, let's go and let everyone know that we're getting some secret information you guys are never going to hear.
Yes, maybe one day.
Next week on the Lowbrow Nation, we hear a story that Jamie's already told 10 times.
Well, yeah, because that happens every episode.
Next week is 4 weeks from now.
Yes. We've only been recording for 17 hours.
Oh, we got two seasons in one night.
Hell yeah, dude.
All next week will be next year.
Well, ladies and gents, this has been the Lowbrow Nation. Only the best podcast known to man.
It's the only podcast.
And God.
The only podcast.
It is only with the most dope gentleman in the entire universe.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for being here. This is awesome.
Yes. Sorry I missed
it. I'm just so stoked I get like 3 weeks off.
Yes. Well, we might record just for shits and giggles.
And enjoy
this episode. We have guests lined up for like the next 3 weeks. Just was an accident.
I got Christmas shopping to do next weekend. I got the drinking of the whiskeys coming up at some point.
Oh, yeah. I want to be involved in that.
I love how that's scheduled.
Definitely want to be involved with that.
The drinking of the whiskey is a semi-sacred event, according to Webster.
Yeah, Webby.
Oh, Webby. All right. Different thing. A lot of stuff no one knows what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We got a rerun coming up.
We do have a rerun coming up.
Yes, we do.
We'll let Jamie rumble it to the barn.
Listen, guys, thank you all for listening to the Lowbrow Nation. Thank you, Ethan, for being here.
Of course.
Big John, thank you, you son of a bitch. Dustin, I'm glad you got
Thanks
here
for catching the ass in. Yeah.
Catch us in the morning for what was it?
Morning Linwood.
All right, fuck you all. See you later.